House, 39 Forestburg Road in Forestburg, New York, through July 10th, 845-794-2005. You can see The Odd Couple performed at the Rivoli Theater, Route 42 in South Fallsburg, New York, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 845-436-5336. Saturday, July 2nd, is the Brookhouse Gallery Artisan Fair, 12 to 7 p.m. along Austin Road in Barryville, New York. Saturday, July 2nd, there's an opening reception for Art on the Edge, a group exhibition at the Hawley Silk Mill, 8 Silk Mill Drive in Hawley, Pennsylvania. The exhibit will remain on display through September 10th. Saturday, July 2nd is Haystock 2011, 6 p.m. at the Delaware Youth Center, 8 Creamery Road in Calicoon, New York. Saturday, July 2nd, you can see Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart in the Music in the Forest series at the Lackawack Sanctuary, 94 Sanctuary Road in Lake Ariel, Pennsylvania. For reservations, call 570-689-9494. Saturday, July 2nd, you can see the Shirelles, 7 p.m. in the former Narrowsburg Central School on Erie Street in Narrowsburg, New York. 845-252-7234. Saturday, July 2nd, singer-songwriter Richard Parkinson will be at Baker's Tap Room in Barryville, New York from 8 to 11 p.m. The WJFF calendar can now be found at wjffradio.org on the archive page. Thank you for listening. Please stay tuned.
Kathy Geary. Welcome to Now and Then here on WJFF. Today's program will be listening to the music of the painter, of the great poet, of the genius songwriter and composer of our time, the deeper side of Joni Mitchell.
He was walking along the road, and I asked him, "Where are you going?" This is what he told me. He said, "I'm going on down to Yasger's farm. I'm gonna join in a rock and roll band. I'm gonna camp out on the land and try and get my soul free." He said, we're stardust. He said, we're golden, and we got to get ourselves back to the garden. Can I walk beside you? I've come here to lose the smog. I feel like I'm a cog in something turning, running round and round. Well, maybe it's just the time of year. Or maybe it's the time of man. I don't know who I am, but life is for learning. I know we're stardust. I think we're back to the garden. By the time we got to Woodstock, we were half a million strong. Everywhere you looked, there was song and celebration. That night I dreamed I saw the bombers up there riding, shotgun in the sky, and they were turning into butterflies. Up above our nation, we are stardust. Come from billion year old carbon. We are golden. We just got caught up in something. And we got to get ourselves back to the garden.
Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell wrote and released that song, Woodstock, back in 1969 on her third album, Ladies of the Canyon. And the recording that we just heard was from her 2002 release called Travelogue. And that was arranged and conducted by Vince Mendoza. So Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell is, in my opinion, has transcended the genre of rock and roll. She's transcended the genre of folk music, of folk rock. She's become a great composer in the line of the great composers through the centuries. Maybe this is a heavy claim. There's something about her poetry and her lyricism that elevates her music above the mere commercial endeavor of music as entertainment. It's beyond that. And this song, Woodstock, why is this such a great song? Why? What does this song do? What does this song say to us that elevates it and makes it an anthem of its time? It's a journey. It's a song about a journey. You've got a pilgrim, and they meet somebody, and they discover something true. I've come here to lose the smog, and I feel like I'm a cog in something turning. Maybe it's just the time of man. Or, you know, life is for learning. Such incredible philosophies and sentiment. From the very beginning of her career, Joni Mitchell has been a unique voice, a very unique voice. When she started out, she's a Canadian. She comes to Greenwich Village, and she starts out in the folk singer circuit. And sure enough, her first couple of albums, she plays a solo acoustic guitar, and it's very much like a folk singer. But it's not long that she branches out into other forms of music. And when you look at when she came onto the music scene at the end of the 60s rock and roll era, you know, a lot of male-dominated rock and roll. God, we love the Beatles, love the Rolling Stones, you know, Hendrix, all that intense energy. And she comes out with very intimate, very personally written songs. And so the way they described her music at the time is they called her a confessional singer-songwriter, which is a label that she has chafed at her entire life. I have a very interesting article that was written in the Los Angeles Times. In April of 2010, there was an interview that Matt Deal did with Joni Mitchell. And it's very interesting to hear what she says. His question to her is that that she's always been called confessional, and yet she resents that, and he asks her why. And here's what Joni Mitchell says about the term confessional songwriter. Quote, "It's an ugly term. It's confessional if you don't get it. If you do get it, you see yourself in the songs. I usually use I as the narrator in my songs, but not all the I's are me. They're characters. It's theater. Tennessee Williams' plays are drawn from personal experience. Does that make him confessional? If I'm playing Joan of Arc, you wouldn't tell me that performance was very confessional." So Joni Mitchell struggling to establish an understanding in the public of who she is and the role she plays as an artist. So her poetry, I'm going to be playing some songs today that I think really emphasize her ability beyond the songwriting as a poet. And one of her most remarkable songs, the Woodstock song we just heard, came out in 1969. Well, in the mid-70s, she embarks on more of a jazz type of a musical accompaniment to her songs. And in 1976, she releases an album called Hegira. And as Woodstock is about a journey and a discovery of the truth, you know, we've got to get back to the garden, the environmental destruction of our world. We need to return to a more natural way of living. Hegira is also about a journey. It's a more personal journey. This song is accompanied by Jaco Pastorius on bass, and he was known for the fretless style of bass playing that he has. Let's listen to this title track from Joni Mitchell's 1976 Hegira.
I'm traveling in some vehicle. I'm sitting in some cafe. A defector from the petty wars that shall shut love away. This comfort in melancholy. When there's no need to explain, it's just as natural as the weather in this moody sky today. In our possessive coupling, so much could not be expressed. So now I am returning to myself. These things that you and I suppressed, I see something of myself in everyone. Just at this moment of the world, the snow gathers like bolts of lace, waltzing on a ballroom girl. To some straighter line. Now here's a man and a woman sitting on a rock. They're either gonna thaw out or freeze. Listen, strains of Benny Goodman coming through the snow and the pine wood trees. I'm porous with travel fever, but you know I'm so glad to be on my own. Still somehow the slightest touch of a stranger can set up trembling in my bones. I know no one's gonna show me everything. We all come and go unknown. Each so deep and superficial. Between the forceps and the stone. Tributes to finality, to eternity. And then I looked at myself here, chicken scratching for my immortality. In the church they light the candles, and the wax rolls down like tears. We're only particles of change, I know, orbiting around the sun. But how can I have that point of view when I'm always bound and tied to someone? White flags of winter chimneys. Of a modern bank, from the window of a hotel room. Petty wars until love sucks me down.
Joni Mitchell has Gyra, a vision quest from her 1976 album. Today's program is The Deeper Side of Joni Mitchell. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF.
Hey, don't worry. It's just me, David Gould. I've got a new show for you called Solid Gould. Fridays at 10 o'clock. I'll be playing the juiciest tracks to the right of disco and to the left of jazz. That's Solid Gould with David Gould. Fridays at 10 p.m. Don't miss it.
All right, we have some wonderful music programs here on WJFF. All right, so The Deeper Side of Joni Mitchell. That album was recorded in 1976, and she's playing with an amazing bass player, Jaco Pastorius. She did a live tour, and in 1979, she released an album called Shadows and Light. And Jaco Pastorius is also joined by the guitarist Pat Metheny and the keyboard player Lyle Mays. Shadows and Light. There's something transcendent about her poetry. I read a quote earlier about how the label confessional songwriter always bugged her. And she's also been categorized as the godmother of the singer-songwriter, the female singer-songwriter. And I have an interesting quote from an article that was published in the New York Times in 1998, an interview with Joni by Neil Strauss. I'd like to read just a little bit of this article. This is what Neil says. Although Joni Mitchell is credited as the godmother of current female singer-songwriters and the spiritual muse of the Lilith Fair, the summer tour put together by Sarah McLachlan, she has always held such sisterhood, particularly with imitators, somewhat in contempt. All her life, she has been considered the grand dame of female singer-songwriters, and all of her life, she has tried to be so much more. And here's a quote from Joni directly, quote, "One guy came up to me and said, 'You're the best female singer-songwriter in the world.' I was thinking, 'What do you mean female? That's like saying, you're the best Negro.' Don't put a lid on it. It transcends boundaries." Well, we don't want to put a lid on Joni Mitchell because her poetry really does transcend boundaries. There's a song that we're about to listen to, the title track from that live album, Shadows and Light. And the words are just astounding. She takes a biblical tone. She's such a well-read woman, and she makes so many references throughout her material of things that she's read. And the shadows and light. Every picture has its shadows, and it has some source of light. Blindness in sight. Threatened by all things, devil of cruelty, drawn to all things, devil of delight, mythical devil of the ever-present laws governing blindness and sight. Critics of all expression, judges in black and white, drawn to all things, threatened by all things, man of cruelty, drawn to all things, man of delight, man of the laws, the ever-broken laws governing wrong and right. Joni Mitchell, Shadows and Light.
Every picture has its shadow. And it has some source of light. Blindness in sight. The perils of benefactors, the blessings of parasites. Blindness.
inside. Bitten by all things, devil of cruelty, drawn to all things, devil of delight, mythical devil of the ever.
Blindness, blindness, and sight.
Suntans in reservation dining rooms, pale miners in their lantern rays. It's like
night, night, and day.
Hostage smiles on presidents, freedom scribbled in the subways. It's like
night, night and day.
Written by all things,
God of cruelty,
drawn to all things,
God of delight,
mythical God of the ever-present laws, governing
day, day, and night.
Critics of all expression, judges in black and white, saying it's wrong,
saying it's right.
Compelled by prescribed standards or our own ideals, we fight
wrong.
Written by all things,
men of cruelty,
drawn to all things,
men of delight,
keeper of the laws, the ever broken laws, governing
wrong,
wrong
and right,
governing
wrong, wrong and right,
wrong and right.
Joni Mitchell, Shadows and Light. That was a live recording from 1979 with Jaco Pastorius on bass and Pat Metheny on guitar. I'm Kathy Geary, and today's program is The Deeper Side of Joni Mitchell.
This is the Catskill Coyote from Audio Visual. A lively mix of musical styles from over 9 decades of recorded music, with live music, underground and cult bands. Audio Visual, cutting edge progressive music from all eras. here on WJFF every Friday night at 11.
All right, Joni Mitchell, a great poet, beyond the genre of just rock and roll. You know, when you look at music and songs that have been written for centuries, it's a very honored art form. And somehow in our contemporary society, the role of music and the role of arts has fallen away. And we have so many talented musicians and painters and poets who have no financial recourse in society to make a living doing the thing that they're most gifted with. Well, Joni Mitchell has fulfilled that potential in a way that few people have. When you think about the incredible development of the singer-songwriter in popular music in our lifetime, the idea of a composer actually writing the lyrics, writing the music, and then performing the whole thing is spectacularly unusual. If you look back in music history and you look back at, say, the great songs of the 19th and 20th century that came out of Germany, for instance, that whole body of German song called Lieder, which defined what the boundaries are for a song. Those composers, they didn't write the poetry. Those great composers, Franz Schubert, Richard Strauss, Johannes Brahms, they would take great poetry and then they would apply their talents to it. And that's the mark of a great composer, when you can elevate, when you can say things musically that can't be said with words, when you can take a poem and you can expand the meaning of the poem by the music that you write to it. Well, Joni Mitchell also is a master composer, and she sets the music of some well-known poetry in a couple of her groundbreaking works of art. In 1991, she releases an album called Night Ride Home. And on that album, she does a setting of a poem by W.B. Yeats that he had written in 1921 called The Second Coming. She slightly rewrites the words and she retitles the song Slouching Towards Bethlehem. In the original poem, it's a two long verses. Well, Joni breaks it up into eight separate verses and turns it into a song of such a contemporary nature that she clarifies the meaning. If you read through his original poem line by line, she doesn't leave one thing out. And she does an amazing treatment of this song. This song is called Slouching Towards Bethlehem. And I think it's helpful I hope you don't mind if I read the lyrics just a little bit, because then when you hear her sing them, all of a sudden they register differently if you already know the lyrics. But, you know, the ceremony sinks and innocence is drowned in anarchy. The best lack conviction, given some time to think. And the worst are full of passion without mercy. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely it's the second coming. For what is this rough beast? Its hour come at last, slouching towards Bethlehem to be born. So this is an amazing adaptation of W.B. Yeats' poem, Joni Mitchell, Slouching Towards Bethlehem.
Thank you. winter cannot hold, and a blood dim tide is loosed upon the world. Nothing is sacred, the ceremony. Given some time to think, and the worst are full of passion without mercy. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely it's a second coming, and the wrath has finally taken form.
Joni Mitchell, Slouching Towards Bethlehem. That's an adaptation of a W.B. Yeats poem from 1921. And that track features Joni on the guitar, vocals, and percussion. Larry Klein is playing bass and percussion. Vinny Coyuta is playing the drums. And that was Alex Acuna on additional percussion. I'm Kathy Geary, and today's program is The Deeper Side of Joni Mitchell. In addition to the reworking the poetry of other poets, she also did an amazing adaptation of the story of Job from the Bible. And in her Turbulent Indigo album, the Grammy-winning album from 1994, there's a song she does called The Sire of Sorrow, Job's Sad Song. And you know the story in the Bible where Job rages at God. Job has a conversation with God where he frankly speaks his mind. And Joni does an amazing adaptation of this incredible content. Here's a little bit of the lyrics from this song, The Sire of Sorrow by Joni Mitchell. Job. Let me speak, let me spit out my bitterness, born of grief and nights without sleep and festering flesh. Do you have eyes? Can you see like mankind sees? Why have you soured and curdled me? Oh, you tireless watcher, what have I done to you that you make everything I dread and everything I fear come true? Show your face, help me understand. What is the reason for your heavy hand? Was it the sins of my youth? What have I done to you that you make everything I dread and everything I fear come true? Joni Mitchell, The Sire of Sorrow, Job's Sad.
Let me speak. Let me spit out my bitterness. Born of grief and nights without sleep and festering flesh. Do you have eyes? Can you see like mankind sees? Why have you soured and curdled me? For life, I'm all complaints.
tell me, why do you starve the faithful? Why do you crucify the saints? And you let the wicked prosper. You let their children frisk like deer. And my loves are dead or dying, but they don't come near. We don't despise your chastening. God is correcting you. Oh, and look who comes to counsel my deep distress. All these pompous positions with carelessness. Oh, all this vanity, all this wind, filling our ears with trash, breathtaking ignorance, adding insult to injury. They come blaming and shaming evildoers and shattering me. This ain't ambitious to see wise men but vassals. You tireless watcher, what have I done to you that you make everything I dread and everything I fear come true? We don't despise your chastening. Already on a bed of sighs and screams, and still you torture me with visions. You give me terrifying dreams. Better I was carried from the womb straight to the grave. I see the diggers waiting. They're leaning on their spades. Man is the sire of sorrow, sure as the sparks are sin. Where is home? Why are you wondering what went wrong? Why give me light and then this dark without a dawn? Evil is sweet. Show your face, but a long fall from grace. Help me understand. What is the reason for your heavy hand? You're stumbling in shadows. You have no name now. Was it the sins of my youth? What have I done to you that you make everything I dread and everything I fear come true? Boy, your guilt must weigh so great. Everything I dread and everything I fear come true. Man is the sire of sorrow. Oh, you make everything I dread and everything I fear come true.
Joni Mitchell, from her Turbulent Indigo album, that's the Sire of Sorrow, Job's sad song. So Joni Mitchell, the deeper side of her poetry. You know, we heard the adaptation she did of the Yeats poem from her Night Ride Home album. Her most recent recording is called Shine, which was released in 2007. And it was a fascinating group of songs. The entire group of songs was choreographed and performed by the Alberta Ballet Company. And so it was an incredible collaboration between them to do this performance. And on the album Shine, Joni returns to another poem by Rudyard Kipling, his 1908 poem called If, which is kind of a blueprint for personal integrity. She rewrites the poem slightly, and she does an adaptation of it on the Shine album. And, you know, what is the role of the poet? What is the role of the artist in today's world? Well, there's a very interesting quote that I have from Joni on that exact topic. And here's what Joni has to say. Joni Mitchell, quote, "Since religions have failed, and politics have failed, and the world is in a massive mess, and nobody is at the helm, the job of the artist becomes all the more important. You have to make some kind of an attempt not to offend leaders and society, but to include and inspire them to be far-sighted. Besides," she said, "you have to be careful how you put things these days or somebody will kill you." That's from an interview that Joni Mitchell gave in October of 2006. She was speaking with Doug Fisher of the Ottawa Citizen, a Canadian paper. And, you know, she talks about rewriting a little bit of the Kipling poem on this album, Shine. She doesn't alter it as much as she did the Yeats poem. She changes a couple of the lines. One of the original lines is, "If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools." She rewrites that to, "If you can hear the truth you've spoken, twisted and misconstrued by some smug fool." She says, quote, "I thought knaves was too archaic, and I wanted the message to be more direct. You don't have the same time to savor the words in a song as you do in a poem." And she also changes the last line of the song in the original ending. It says, "And which is more, you'll be a man, my son." And she changes that to, "And what is more, you'll be all right." And the interviewer, Doug Fisher, asked Joni, you know, did she think that Kipling would mind? And Joni says, "Oh, no, I've made it better." You know, David Crosby once said about Joni Mitchell, she's about as humble as Mussolini. Well, you know, she deserves it. She's totally cognizant of her own abilities. I hope you're enjoying today's program, The Deeper Side of Joni Mitchell. I'm Kathy Geary, and this is Now and Then here on WJFF. Let's listen to that adaptation of the Rudyard Kipling poem, If, from Joni Mitchell's Shine.
If you can think and not make intellect. just the same.
Kathy Geary, and you've been listening to Now and Then on WJFF Radio Catskill. Today's program, The Deeper Side of Joni Mitchell. If you